Hello and welcome to our fourth episode of Keeping Tracks. Today we will be keeping tracks with Leo Lightfoot, who finds himself in the midst of a zombie apocalypse where he will be stranded in Trent Building with only a few choice resources. Leo's recent filming trips include Bristol, Leeds, Leicester, Edinburgh, the French Alps, Romania, most recently a three-week trip to Jamaica, and somehow we've got him in our studio here at URN. Leo, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Clearly you've amassed quite the CV, but I want to take it right back to the beginning. What made you first pick up a camera?
So weirdly, it was my old school, and I was actually back there this week, went for a quick meeting. I did this kind of extracurricular week where they came in and, you know, had a different week of different activities besides your English and your maths. And one of the days we did filmmaking. And we were put into groups, taught what a camera was, and kind of sent away just to make an idea and make a film. And I took a bit of a lead directing and shooting, and we made a James Bond spoof, which is probably obviously the worst film I've ever made, but at the time it was absolutely awesome, and we won the prize for the best film. And it's still actually on my YouTube channel from like 2009. So I started there, and that got that got me into it really early days, and got a like really keen eye for it, and started making films with my mates for YouTube, started a bit of a channel and kind of trying out different things. Obviously they're all terrible now, but they were great at the time, and took it from there. And then when I went to college, I was boarding at Eastbourne and started doing kind of like highlights of the sports, like the rugby, the football, and just kind of like general overview of sports. And that kind of took me down that kind of route. Left there, came to Nottingham, and I remember going around at Freshers Fair to all of the clubs and saying, you know, this is what I do, I'd love to do it for you guys. And because I was a fresher, I think everybody was like, yeah, sure, mate, yeah, sure you will. So literally no one got back to me, which is pretty upsetting at the time. But, you know, I wasn't that bothered. And then came to like February time, freshers year, and the hockey club were the first guys to get in touch through my old housemate, James. And they were the first people to say, you know, do you want some money? And I said, that sounds pretty good. Yeah, I'd be keen for that. And took it from there, and kind of over the 3 years, it just built up and built up with different clients, and here we are. It's now my full-time job.
So what is it about the filming process that really made you want to get stuck in?
I think it's just the creativity. I think one of the main things when I was younger, I used to do, you know, making the videos for YouTube and stuff. I used to be super into listening to music and stuff on my bus to school and things like that, and I would always think of a video I would make to that song. So, you know, usually people kind of say, all right, we need to make this video, we need to find a good track for it. But it was the other way around. I used to want to make this kind of video because this song kind of offered this, I don't know, creative way of doing it, I suppose. So I started with that, and it, you know, it's just so much, it's nice to be able to have a platform where you can think of an idea and make it happen yourself, and just produce content, I think.
And when you were figuring out what kind of videographer you wanted to be, who were your main inspirations?
So when I was younger, there's a guy called Devin Supertramp, who is a big YouTuber. He's still going now. So I kind of stylized my kind of equipment, everything, upon what he was using. He used to make a lot of kind of like adventure, fun, sports, like type of stuff you'd want to do with your mates. And the type of videos where you would watch it and just instantly be like, I wish I was doing that. I wish I could do that, and want to share it straight away. And that was the kind of thing that I wanted to create. I wanted to create stuff that people would see it and think that's awesome. I want to be involved. So he was definitely one of the first. And from there, it's just kind of, you know, other people you meet or kind of, you know, things you come across in films and stuff. And you think, you know, that's epic. Like someone's doing something new with cinematography, like The Kingsman, for example, you know, like fight scenes and stuff. They're like insane, like something new. So it's always just looking out for that, really.
So after drawing inspiration from other directors and filmers, was there a moment where you thought, wow, I can really do something with this?
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, in terms of it being like a credible kind of business and kind of like a credible thing to do with my life, my mom was always pretty insistent that I stuck with the education, hence why I studied history. you know, it kind of like, it was always a hobby, always something fun to do. And when it became something really viable that I could do kind of full time, you know, I did and left uni, and it kind of just everything tied up at once, you know, the right time.
Clearly, nowadays, you've been around the blocks a few times, and I don't mean that in a derogatory way. What's been your most memorable moment thus far?
In terms of filming, in terms of like the people and things like that, I'd say Ronaldo is definitely up there with one of the biggest experiences, just because, you know, he's such a big figure. He's like one of the best, arguably, against Messi footballers in the world. And I remember telling my housemates about it, and they didn't believe me at all until I sent them photos from the shoot. That was definitely like one of the biggest experiences. But you know, others that maybe have been like low-key people or low-key kind of events, a lot of the music stuff, maybe not everybody knows who these DJs are, but they've been super fun to film and like just really rewarding when you look back at the kind of feedback on the videos and stuff like that. That's the main thing.
Was Ronaldo impossibly well groomed?
Yeah, he had like about 50 stylists. He had two agents, both women, who were like super on it at first. Like, we couldn't even like look at him. We couldn't even be in the same room as him to start with, so it was like super tight. But you know, he was pretty chilled about everything, so things got more like slack and chilled. And by the end of it, we were talking about UFC because it was like the Conor McGregor fight coming up, and he was invited and things like that. So we were kind of like discussing that, as, you know, small talk in between shoots and stuff. But yeah, it was pretty epic. He seemed like a nice guy, so yeah, can't complain.
You must have been starstruck.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, especially, you know, that moment when these people walk into the room for the first time, like preparing the shoot, you can kind of think about it. Hey, I'm really looking forward to it. It's exciting. But when you're actually there with them, it's a bit like, whoa, pretty lucky, you know.
I'm incredibly jealous. Leo, it's time for your first track. Tell me a bit about it.
So the first track is Do Your Thing by Basement Jacks, which is actually fond memory. It's like one of my mum's favourite songs, and got a pretty clear memory of this coming on at my cousin's wedding. And there was like one of the rare times all of my family were, you know, all together in one place, because my brother lives in Australia and we're all kind of all over the place. So this song is, you know, means a lot to my mum. So yeah, it's a really good one.
This is Do Your Thing by Basement Jacks. And that was Do Your Thing by Basement Jacks. Leo, you mentioned you studied history here at the University of Nottingham. How was your university experience?
Absolutely, like, I can't even rate it higher than 10 out of 10. It was so, so good. Best years of my life so far, education-wise. I had such a good group of mates, like, such good people around, like, to work with, just to, you know, have a laugh with. I can't say I did much actual studying, just because, you know, filming really took over. But, you know, some of my tutors and stuff like that were super, you know, chilled about it. They knew that I was doing stuff on the side, so they kind of helped me in that aspect. To be fair, it was good. It was good to do something slightly different to the filming day in, day out. You know, when you had other things to concentrate on, it made the time when I was doing the filming and editing and stuff, like, more fun to do. It was like a kind of escape from education, I suppose. So all in all, yeah, absolutely awesome. Love my time here. I miss it. I would want to come back.
And how did you manage your balance between work and filming?
It was lucky that it was quite progressive over the 3 years. Like, obviously, I didn't get, like, 100 people asking me at once when I first came here for a video. It was pretty progressive, like, getting myself in the right places, speaking to the right people, that type of thing. So it was just a kind of adjusting my day with, you know, when am I filming, when am I editing, and obviously by the end of it, I was pretty much always editing stuff. I think over the 3 years that I was here, I haven't actually been able to wipe my editing slate clean. I still haven't. I've still got 75 videos on there to edit currently. 75, yeah. So I've been trying to find the time to sit down and edit, and I did a lot of my time at Nottingham, but while I was, you know, doing lectures and seminars and stuff, and my dissertation, wrote that in like 6 days or something, which probably isn't ideal. I probably shouldn't say that.
quick disclaimer to our listeners that
don't do that.
So yeah. you mentioned that you studied history. What was it that made you want to study history?
The original idea was actually to study history and then convert to law. So, you know, that was kind of what I had my heart set on. Going through, you know, school and stuff, I was like pretty certain I wanted to go into law, and even did like quite a lot of work experience in law firms and stuff like that. That was always the idea. And, you know, my mum always pushed that, and I was really keen for it, and it's only when the filming became like a super viable option, it was like, yeah, maybe not. maybe just leave the history there and, you know, do what you want to do. So
no regrets from mum's perspective?
No, she's happy now. She shares my vids, so she's happy. Yeah.
Now that you graduated, how do you pass your days? What do they consist of?
I'd say most of it is editing. That's the bit that people don't really see, is me locked in my flat, literally just with coffee, nonstop, just trying to get videos sorted and done and sent to clients and things like that. But obviously there's a lot of filming, there's a lot of events and stuff that I'm going along to and shooting, and a lot of it now that I've got, you know, my own space and things, a lot of the fun bit is actually the pre-production. So, you know, thinking of ideas, you know, discussing that with, you know, whoever I'm doing the job for, and kind of thinking of a new way to do what they, you know, what they want to portray. So a lot of it is just new ideas, which is obviously the most fun bit, and executing that is, you know, pretty rewarding.
You shoot in a variety of styles, from sports to music to travel and lifestyle. But when you are thinking of ideas when you're shooting, are you a one-man band?
I am. It kind of always has been that way, and whether it will stay that way, it's hard to say, because half my mind is, you know, saying expand, you know, bring more people on. The other half is, you know, I love it too much. It's kind of hard to let go. But it's always just been me. I've always just kind of picked up a project, whoever it may be who wants me to do something, film it all, edit it all, give them a video. And it makes it easy, because it's, you know, direct with the client. It's quite a personal relationship. And just makes things pretty fun from my perspective. I get full control over all the creative, so yeah.
I can imagine there's lots of long nights with lots of coffee, as you say. Given we're now transporting you to a zombie apocalypse where you're stranded in Trent Building, do you think you'll be well equipped for the loneliness that will come with that?
If I had plenty of work to do, definitely. I probably wouldn't even notice. if you just give me some coffee and an editing list, then just lock me away, and that's easy work for me, really. Good, more time, the better.
Leo, it's time for your second track. What have you got for us?
Yes, so this is a classic. Everybody will love this one. It's September, Earth, Wind & Fire. It's a personal family favourite. I'm pretty sure it's everybody's family favourite. You can't really go wrong with this one. So, yep, great track.
September, Earth, Wind & Fire. That was September, Earth, Wind and Fire. Leo, I've had a sneak peek at the rest of your chosen tracks, and they're all very contemporary and all very upbeat. In the zombie apocalypse, I think that's exactly what you need.
Yeah, absolutely. You need to keep happy, I suppose, in times of something going wrong.
So you mentioned that your mum kind of influenced your music taste growing
Definitely,
up.
Definitely, yeah.
How do you think she influenced you?
So all of us were super musical. You know, we kind of brought up listening to a lot of music. Things like the school runs, we used to listen to kind of like Fatboy Slim and like a lot of, again, Earth, Wind & Fire, all that kind of like soul stuff as well, which was, yeah, a big part of it. And like in our household, that's the type of music we would listen to, and it was just nice, you know. And all of us played our instruments, all of us, you know, I was guitar, my brother kind of drums, other brother saxophone, sister a bit of piano. Like everybody had an instrument that they played, and it was just, yeah, a big part of you know, growing up.
At this point in the show, we'd usually talk about books, but given we're recording with a filmmaker, I think it's only appropriate that we talk about films, to be honest. So instead of books, we're going to give you a DVD player.
Yes.
And two films.
Nice.
What's your first one going
to
be?
First one has got to be Shutter Island. I absolutely love that film. A lot of people, when I've mentioned it, they have said, you know, they've never seen it. It's Leonardo DiCaprio. So everybody's kind of seen the classics, you know, your Titanic, your Wolf of Wall Street, I suppose. But yeah, Shutter Island is such a good film. It's like a kind of psychological thriller, I guess. It's a, like, it messes with your head a little bit. It's like an awesome storyline. It's just an epic film. Like, you have to watch it. I can't really kind of do it justice.
I can't say that I've ever actually watched it.
Yeah,
what's it about?
I don't want to give away too much, but it's a guy who he's like a sheriff type thing, I suppose. It's in America, and he like goes to this island, which is Shutter Island, and they're basically investigating it's like a prison on an island, and they're investigating a missing prisoner. And kind of like the more time he spends there, it gets like super, like more weird, and like more stuff gets revealed, and like finds out more about the island and all that kind of stuff. But there's a lot more to it. So any more I say will ruin it. So yeah, you just kind of have to watch it.
And from a filmmaker's point of view, was it the filming style that got you into the film, or was it Leo? Tell me a bit about that.
I'd say there are a lot more other films that, like, on a kind of filming style, like cinematography, are a lot more, like, skilled and, like, setting a bigger precedent in terms of, like, how they're doing it compared to previous films. This one isn't necessarily, like, a massive, like, landmark in terms of how it's filmed, but I think it's just more the writing and, like, the structure of the film and, like, the kind of everything you find out as the film goes on. And the main thing is, as you find out more things about the plotline, if you then rewatch it, I've watched it like 20 times, and every time you rewatch it, you spot other things that they've kind of put throughout the film that make sense when you know the kind of ending, if that makes sense. So there's a lot of that, which is super clever. It's the type of film I love, where it's like actually smart, you know, a lot to think about.
And do you watch a lot of films?
Yeah, pretty much all the time. Like, every time, it's kind of weird, like every time I eat food, I would always want to watch either something new or just rewatch like ones from years ago and stuff like that. Just, yeah, keep it going.
I've had a little look at your YouTube channel, which has nearly 2 million views. Are you part of the YouTube community?
I very much was so. And these guys called The Whistle took me on into their YouTube network. And I was like, that was like super what I wanted to do, was like be a YouTuber. It was only when I came to uni and I was like balancing the actual degree plus like the business side of it, of like being paid to do films for other people rather than myself. It was like then super hard to kind of go back to how I started it with making my own films, like of the ideas that I started. So all of my videos are still up there, and they're good to look back on. Obviously a lot's changed since then, but it was good fun. You know, racked up like, yeah, as you said, like 2 mil views in the end. Some of them, like one of them has got like 500,000, like one of the ones I did with my best mate. Yeah, I got like 500,000. It's still getting like thousands of views each day. I don't get it, but yeah, it's funny to look back on. Yeah,
it's time now to listen to your third track. Tell me a bit about what the song is and why you chose it.
Yes, so this is a Daft Punk song, and I suppose most people would know like Daft Punk more like nowadays, more recent stuff. But this is from, I think it's like their second album, but it's like from ages ago. I think it's like 1999 or something like that, maybe 2000. It's a song called Digital Love, so this album, Discovery, was like my big brother's like first album that he got. So when we were at home, like it was like the coolest thing that he had this new CD, this new album, and like we used to go and like sit in his room and like listen to the whole thing. You know, how cool is this? So and this is just like an awesome song from it. Like most people know like some of the other ones, whereas I really like this one from the album. So yeah,
this is Digital Love by Daft Punk.
I'm dancing right beside you.
That was Digital Love by Daft Punk. Leo, you said that the vast majority of your work is freelance. What are the benefits of working as a freelance artist?
It's quite a lot, man. It's like, firstly, it's just choosing your own hours. That's probably the luckiest thing about it. Like, there are some days when I'm just in my flat, working up at like 10 a.m. Maybe I shouldn't say this. It sounds really unproductive. Working up at like 10 a.m., like, make some breakfast, get like a coffee, and then like sit at my desk at like 11. And I'm just like, this is sick, you know? Like, because most of my mates are all like full-time work now. Some of them are like commuting from like Essex to London. Some of them like already in London, whatever. But like, obviously they've got to be there for their like 9 a.m. start till like 5. And it's like, I just can't picture doing that like 100%. 5 days a week, you've got to be there from this hour to this hour, maybe even later. Like, I just can't picture it, man. So that's really cool. I love that. And the flexibility, like being able to, you know, if something's going on, be able to be like, yep, sweet, I won't work then, I'll come do that. That kind of thing is awesome. But then I suppose the like slight con, personally I love it, is that I'm always thinking about it. Like, it's pretty much always on my mind what I'm working on, what kind of films I'm making, what I've got to edit, what kind of stuff I've got to do, like 24 hours a day. So I suppose when people are doing 9 to 5, you leave and that's your work. Whereas for me, it's like all the time. So yeah, that's freelance. And I suppose like it's a lot of variety in terms of what you can do. Like, a lot of my stuff is obviously my own projects, but every now and again, you might get like a bigger production company saying, can you come along and film this for us? And then walk away with, you know, that's it, you just filmed it, no editing. So it's like super easy. So yeah, it's pretty flexible and it's good.
So with the freedom that you have now, do you think if worse comes to worse, you could ever revert to like a 9 to 5 job?
At this current moment, I'd say absolutely not, because I love it too much. But to be fair, I've only been technically freelance for like coming up to a year, so I'm sure 5 years in, I'll probably be like, I'd love some security, you know? That's the only thing. It's like a little bit precarious. You never know what you're getting month to month. So, yeah, maybe one day. Maybe like when I'm like 30, it's probably more appropriate to be a like proper job.
You've mentioned a few benefits of doing what you do, from the hours to the people that you've met. You've said that Ronaldo is one, but I feel like there might be one or two in there.
Yeah, I swear.
Who else have you met? I'm being nosy.
I suppose there's quite a few in music, because there's like a lot of festivals and stuff. So I guess, I mean, Stormzy is pretty cool. Filmed Stormzy at Outlook and got a picture of him.
What was he like?
Yeah, he was really cool, man. He was really nice. I'm sure like he's nice to everybody. But he... It was pretty much just as he was like getting really big, like when his first few songs came out, like Shut Up and Know Me From and whatever. So like just jumped on the fan bandwagon, really. And yeah, I got a photo of him doing my logo like this, and that was super awesome. Like, that was really cool. So something cool to look back at, because obviously he's like huge now. Like, he's doing so well. Big Nasty as well, at the same festival, interviewed him, and he was like a real joker. So he was cool. That festival in general was awesome. That was like all of BBK, so like JME and Skepta and P Money and all that kind of stuff. But most of the like DJs and stuff are just all really cool guys. So yeah, they're epic to work with, really.
It's now time to have your fourth song. What have you gone for?
So this one is more relevant to uni, just because this song I used for my 2016, so I do like a year in review every year, just kind of the best like clips of all the films I've made that year, make like more of like a personal highlights reel of like the ones that mean more to me and like the ones I've loved the most. So this song I used for my 2016 year in review, and yeah, all of the boys in my house like were big fans of this one, so yeah, good track.
This is Smoke Filled Room by Marco.
Isn't it a little late? Shouldn't you fly away? A little dove with cigarettes, show them that you can hold your breath. I heard about a girl buried in dolls and lost her curls, painted on lipstick red, grew herself up and then she walk into a smoke-filled room. Oh, no one could keep their eyes off you. If a little drink or two, or could you be that girl? I knew. Walk so much more than that. Oh, I heard about a girl buried in dolls and lost her curls. They did her lipstick red, grew herself up, and then she walked into a smoke-filled room. No one could keep their eyes off you. Have a little drink or two, or how could you be that girl I knew? Walk into a smoke-filled room, a little black dress and mama's shoes. Easy me to be so soon, or how could you be that girl I knew?
And that was Smoke-Filled Room by Mako. We're going to talk now about your second film that you're going to bring.
Yes.
What is it?
So the first one was a bit more like, you know, psychological thriller. So I thought this one, it's got to be funny. So it's got to be Anchorman, obviously. Will Ferrell classic. Everybody loves it. You can't really go wrong. And you've got to have something that's going to keep you going. Yeah, Anchorman. Awesome film. Everybody loves it. But yeah, it's got to be Anchorman.
Clearly Anchorman is a pioneer of the comedy genre.
Do you
watch a lot of comedy films?
Yeah, I love those kind of films. Like, what's the other one? The Other Guys with Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg. That's
great,
another
film.
Classic. Step Brothers. I'd say that's on par with Anchorman. I'd say, like, one of those two I'd choose to take with me. Just because that's another classic. All of those kind of films, man. They're awesome.
If you could have shot either Shutter Island or Anchorman, which one were you?
Definitely Shutter Island, because then I would have been able to work with Leonardo DiCaprio, and that's like a goal, you know?
I feel like you've already worked with enough famous people, to be honest.
He would be number one on the list, 100%.
Clearly now you're very busy filmmaking and editing and going across the world, making content. What are you hoping to do in the future?
So coming up next is, I'm actually back in Nottingham next week just to shoot the Bucks Wednesday, which would be really nice. It'd be nice to be back. And then it's back off again. So we got the ski trip with Snow Sports, which is going to be so good. I can't wait. There's like 1,300 of us going out. So it's like the biggest trip to date. They've absolutely smashed it. It's going to be my sixth trip and final trip, sadly. So I'm handing over the baton. So it's going to be, you know, a big moment. It's going to be an awesome trip, though. We've got a few new tricks up my sleeve to hopefully make this the best one yet. So I'm really hoping we do, and it should be awesome. And then after that, Easter is kind of heading into the festival season. There's a few kind of new things happening in Easter time. And then pretty much as soon as we hit May, it's festival season starting there, and it's going to be awesome. I can't wait.
A few of our listeners might be aspiring filmmakers. Mm. What advice would you have for them?
Whenever people message that kind of question, the thing I always say is just film as much as you can and create as many videos as you possibly can in your free time, just because I think a lot of it is learning from your previous mistakes. So for me, you know, I tried to make as many films as possible, and I made loads and loads for YouTube, and obviously I'd look back at them now and be like, that's wrong, whereas at the time I thought it was, you know, the best thing ever to be made. So I think a lot of it is trial and error, and just trying stuff and making stuff and seeing what you can improve. And the most important, I say, is to get people around you who can be like honestly critical. You know, a lot of the time you can get people just like, yeah, that's sick, when actually you want to hear like what's wrong with it, you know. So for example, my mom and like my family are pretty critical. There's one video I remember I just made just before I went to see my brother in London, and brought in the video with me, and then like someone from his company was like, oh Leo, like, I want to speak to them, and gave him the video to watch. Came back like 5 minutes later, I was like, oh, so what do you think? Like, this is my brand new film I just made. He's like, yeah, it's not your best, mate. I was like, are you kidding? Like, okay. But like all of that stuff is like super helpful feedback, and just to kind of make, you know, obviously you want to make the next film better than the last. So critical feedback is always best.
We joked earlier about in the future going back to a desk job, but assuming that your path continues along the same trajectory as it has done, where would you ideally like to be in 10 years time?
Oh, that's a big question. I'd say, I mean, I absolutely love what I'm doing at the moment. I love the flexibility and the creativity. I love being able to kind of just work with new people or the same people and kind of create new ideas and try and, obviously for me, it's like creating each video is my own. So I obviously want, if I'm putting my name to it, I want it to be the best I can possibly make. So I want to keep doing that, but obviously there'll be a stage where, you know, it's no longer cool for a 30-year-old guy to be running around with a camera at festivals and stuff. So, you know, ideally I'd like to go perhaps more on the directing route. I've done a little bit of directing with like ITV and things so far, and it's awesome. It seems like the natural step, so perhaps that's the kind of the next thing to do.
Leo, it's time to listen to your fifth and final track.
Yes.
What are we going to listen to?
So this one is another big one for the family. It's something like when we used to drive to school, my mum used to play stuff like Fatboy Slim in the car, which was awesome. And then just as we're pulling in, you know, change it to like classic FM or something. So this is always a good one. And Praise You is like a classic by Fatboy Slim. Actually saw him at Reading and Leeds last summer, which is the first time I've ever seen him actually like in the flesh live. Got to speak to him, which was awesome because he's like, you know, childhood music. So yeah, Praise You.
We've come a long, long way together, through the hard times and the good. I have to celebrate you, baby. I have to praise you like I should.
That was Praise You by Fatboy Slim. Right, Leo, it's zombie apocalypse time.
Yes.
You're in the Trent building and we're going to give you only a few select things.
Yeah.
You have one luxury item to choose. What's it going to be?
One luxury item, okay. This is a tough one because I feel like I should say my camera. Can't say I know what to do with it in that circumstance, but I'd also kind of need my Mac to edit. If I'm having my camera, so if I'm allowed two luxury items, those would be the two. I mean, I pretty much live like with them. I have them at all times. I've got them right here in my bag with me. I can't really go anywhere without. So yeah, definitely be one of those two.
I feel like we can give you both.
Yeah, if that's allowed, I'd love that. Please.
Of course. We're also giving you one bottomless drink.
Yes.
What do you think it's going to be?
So this is, depending on the circumstance again, is it hot or is it like...
I think what mild, kind of just it's mild. Room temperature, really.
Oh, room temperature, okay. Because if it's like, if it's super hot, you'd obviously want a beer. So I'd say Peroni would be the best beer of choice. But if it's like... Trent building, I guess it's just coffee. I can't live without coffee, man. I have to have it every day.
How many are you talking?
I try and restrict myself to like one big coffee in the morning, like one big coffee in the afternoon. Good coffee though, not instant.
Good coffee is yours. And finally, we're giving you one weapon.
Yes.
What have you gone for?
This one was hard because, I mean, your first instinct would say a gun. Like a machine gun or something, that's manly. But a wand, like a magic wand, that would be cool.
Do you know any spells?
Yeah, I mean, I read all the books when I was younger. I used to love Harry Potter, man. It was like childhood. So what is it, the one, Expecto Patronum? That's the lighty-uppy one, isn't it?
Yeah, it gets rid of the Dementors.
Yes, that's it, Dementors, yeah.
So I feel like Dementors and zombies probably have quite a long
time. Oh, there we go. So maybe we can just replace the zombies with Dementors and...
Yeah, job's a good one. That's your lot. And Leo, it's been an absolute pleasure having
thank you
on the
very
show
much
today.
Having me on.
We'll be back next week, keeping tracks with a new guest. Find all our guests on our Twitter and social media accounts. I've been Finn Leslaw, and this is Keeping Tracks.